No, we're in Lechlecha, but I want to go back to Noach a bit. One final comment that I heard yesterday on the flood was the incident of Noach with the raven. Rabbi Stephen Przanski, in yesterday's blog, quoted the pasuk that by Yishlach Esa'irev, Noach sent out the raven, right? It went back. He says he sent out the raven, and all the raven did is it circled the teva, and Noach didn't take it back in, supposedly. Until this continued until the land dried up. And he said, what was going on with the raven? He says, first of all, Yonah took out the raven because the raven was one of three entities that copulated in the teva. I think it was the raven, the dog, and Chum. They weren't allowed to. Okay? Now, so the raven gets tossed out, and the raven talks to Noach, who is Dr. Doolittle, obviously, to communicate with the animals, and says, you're trying to kill me because you got seven kosher species, but there's only one of me. And Noach may have answered him, well, I know you already impregnated your mate, so no, that's not a problem. And then he says, and I know what, you want to have relations with my mate. You can imagine what Noach told him then. Anyway, so the question is, what is this idea that the raven till it dried up? And so Rabbi Przanski says, we go into Malachim and we learn about when Eliyahu HaNavi first comes on the scene, Ahav is king, and Eliyahu asks Hashem for a drought. He wants a famine. And Hashem tells Eliyahu where to hide in a cave, whatever, and he does that. And it says that God gave him water, and God had the ravens go out, take food from Ahav, the king's palace, and bring it to him. A couple of interesting things we see. Ahav was an avoid Zoronik. But boy, did he have, he had Mahadrin men Mahadrin food, because Eliyahu HaNavi ate it, and there was no problem, which is an interesting phenomenon. The second thing is, hold on, what's the raven doing? Like, why is the raven
the conduit?
Conduit. So, Rabbi Przanski says, what was the raven's motive? He says, Yavoshes Hamayim, take Yavoshes backwards and you get Tishbi. Eliyahu HaTishbi. He says, so the raven was designated that while it failed then to succeed here. But he said, the raven only did this for one reason. He said, the raven knew that as long as the raven would end up feeding Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi would not come out of hiding and would not end the famine. So what the raven wanted was for people to suffer as miserably as possible. That's what I'm saying. And he said, for some, the raven apparently is a metaphor for evil, disgust, and screwing things up. It was an interesting word I had never heard before.
Never heard
of
it before.
No, never heard it before either. A lot of times with really imaginative things. We're told at the end of last week's Parsha about Avraham coming into this world, right? Nimrod was around. We know what an animal he was and how he killed animals and how he killed everything. And at one day, his astrologers say to him, we are aware of a tremendous danger threatening your dynasty. in the stars, we see that a baby is being born in your kingdom who will deny your divinity and will eventually overcome you. Nimrod obviously became quite perturbed. And he says, what do we do? So they said, we'll think about parting. We're going to kill all the baby boys. I mean, typical Goyish advice.
It's like Moshe and yeah. Israel.
And he said, that's great. He says, let's set up architects to have baby birthing homes, and we'll do infocyte on the moment we need it. Terach, Avram's father, was one of the Nimrodian ministers, heavy guy in the community, in the government. And he said, you don't expect me to have my wife confined to this thing. And the king said, of course not. You know, we know who you are. We're not afraid of your son. And it says 700,000 newborns were murdered. One morning, the astrologer said, King, in spite of your great efforts, the danger still exists. There's now a koichav, a star, over Terach's house, and it's shooting in all directions. Obviously, Terach's baby is your nemesis. And so he just says, Terach, I want to buy your baby. Here's a blank check. And Terach says, are you nuts? He says, I don't sell my flesh and blood. He's, you know, and the ministers said to him, we're going to assassinate you. Like, we're not putting up with insubordinates. Right? And Terach realized that even though he had thwarted them temporarily, he better take evasive action. And he said, wrap up the baby, put him in a cave. And when they came back, they knocked. And what he did is he gave them a ben ashifcha. He had a maidservant who had given a baby. And he said, all right, you beat me. And I'm powerless. Avram Avinu, it says, grew up in this cave, right? And he was isolated from the corrupt society that existed. And he had a phenomenal mind. And at 3 years old, it says, he began to understand there's a Borei Olam, someone created the world. It says, he said, maybe I should worship the earth because the earth gives us sustenance, but the earth then depends on the heaven for rain. So maybe I should bow to the firmament. But the firmament needs the sun, because without the sun, the warmth and the light, there is nothing. And so he said, I think initially the sun may be the deity. But at night, away goes the sun and up comes the moon. And he says, no, the creator has got to be a 24/7 entity. It's got to be available to be perceived day and night. He didn't realize, I guess, that the world was round in those days. But anyway, right?
And then he realized that the moon was always there anyway. The moon doesn't go away.
I said he had no idea. He was 3 years old. Come on, I mean, and he began to look at the stars and the constellations, and he began to see what we call the pattern that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in nature. And he said, there is something higher than all of this, because this didn't happen. This is not an accident. It's not the Big Bang Theory, because that makes no sense. And they give the metaphor that a wanderer was in the forest and he found a magnificent castle of the finest architecture with the most gorgeous of gardens and pools. And he said, obviously, somebody had to put this together. It didn't just happen. And the world is billions of times more complex. And Avram said to himself, I know that I cannot see, and I don't have, I would say, what's the word, communication with the Creator, but I know He exists. There's no other way. And after time, it seems that the king decided to stop with infanticide, right? And because they relaxed it, because they figured they had already killed Terah's little one, Avram came back. We know that Terah was the idol maker. And Avraham, when people would come in, right, they tell these midrashim, Avram would come in and a guy would say, I need an idol. And he would say, oh, you're seven, you're a basketball player. You need a big one. And he says, yeah, I need a big one. And he would say, hold on, he says. I have three big ones here, he says. My father made this one Tuesday, this one Wednesday, and this one came out this morning. It's fresh. But he said, if my father made them, of what use are you? You know, in other words, what are you? You've been here longer. You're gonna worship this piece of wood,
He dissuaded
people. You know, I mean, he was not a good. He was the anti-idol man. You know, and he made sense. That was a problem.
Hello, you've ordered absentee.
Yes.
And
what about you?
What?
Okay. Avram would ask people, how is it possible? He says, watch this. He took an axe, busted the finger off the idol, and he said, oh, the idol's going to protect you. How was I able to bust his finger? It couldn't protect itself. And this is what Avram did, right? And a lady came and she wanted to bring a mincha flower offering. And Avram basically said to her, watch this. And he smashed a couple idols and he said, oh, I hope you didn't want to pray to one of these. And so basically the word got around that, you know, Avram's ruining our religion. Like, you know, it was very convenient. If you didn't like what was happening, you threw out your idol and you got a new one. You know, gods were exchangeable, probably cheaper than changing a car. That's the way they lived.
Especially today's car.
And one day he destroyed them all. And Nimrod said, that's it. I can't put up with this guy anymore. My empire depends on idolatry. No way. And he had Avram thrown.
What about his father? How come his father didn't? How come it took Nimrod to do it, not his father? They say that his father brought him to Nimrod.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that too. Yeah, I know.
But it doesn't make any sense.
I know. Don't know. Don't know the end.
Avram went to Eretz Canaan. I think he took.
Yeah, eventually he left. Eventually, Terach said, you know what, this is bonkers. Yeah. But I guess it's hard. When you're in the business for a long time, you know, when you're profitable, it's hard to give it up.
I think what happened was that Terach realized that he was after Avram to kill him. And he got a little bit of wisdom. He said, well, if he wants to kill my son, it's time for the whole family to leave.
Right, yeah, probably. And we know that it says the first trial of Avram was maybe Nimrod trying to have him killed. Next one was he threw him into jail. And in jail, right, he would say to the head guard, Can I ask you one question? He says, yeah. He says, are you going to pray to the sun tomorrow? He says, of course. He says, well, it rises in the east and it sets in the west. What I want you to do, since you're bigger than the star, ask your God to rise in the west and set in the east. And the guy said, what? He says, well, why does it happen this way continuously? And the guy, you know, the guard didn't have an answer. Then he would give him another riddle wrapped in an enigma, which was a paradox. And basically, he blew them away. Eventually, he was converting the people in jail to be believers. And he said...
But to be disbelievers of,
right.
of idols.
And, right? Then he would say to an idol, okay, I'm prepared to bow to you. All I want you to do, tell me what I thought about in the last 3 seconds. Right? Not a great thing to ask a god, not a hard thing for a god. And eventually he got before Nimrod, because Nimrod was, you know, he was all of a sudden finding believers, and that didn't work too well. And Nimrod said, do you know I'm God? And Avram Avinu said, you're no God. He says, you come from Cush. And if you deny it, how is it that your father died? You weren't able to save your father from death. Right? And you're not going to be able to save yourself from death. Well, what kind of God are you? And Avram raised his eyes to Hashem and said, Hashem, please just punish the wicked. And he decided that this was enough. Nimrod was going to burn him in the cauldron, right? They had these fire and ore custom, right, which was a spot, and they were going to have like a gladiator show. They were going to watch Avram and his brothers burn up. Avram had 2 brothers, and Nimrod figured he'd scare them, and there was no fear. And Nimrod said to Avram, let's worship fire. Because fire could get you well. But he says, yeah, but water takes out fire. So let's bow to water. He says, but the clouds blow the water away. And then the wind moves the clouds. And he kept going on. And Nimrod said, you're just trying to make a fool of me. And Avram probably said, I can't make a fool out of a moron. Right? And the king said, okay. Tomorrow is the burning day. Everybody come. We're going to have a circus. We're going to burn Avram. And they sold tickets. And it said this was the greatest event ever had to that day. And his mother said to him, you know what? You're toast, Avram Avinu. And he said, no, I don't think so. Anyway, it says Nimrod's slaves picked him up on an exceedingly hot oven. Gavriel went to Hashem and he said, let me burn, put out the flames. Amala. Hashem said, no, there's no one like myself in heaven and there's no one like Avram on earth. I'm taking responsibility in my own hands, not Amala. And Hashem told the fire, the flames, do burn, but don't touch Avram. Don't even singe a hair on his head. It said the wood in the oven, as it was burning, began to turn into fruit-bearing branches. And they gave up, as Avram was burning for days, he had the greatest fruit tree available, or fruit trees. 3 days and 3 nights. Nimrod's slaves opened to try to see what was going on, and they saw Avram moving around, and they perceived angels with him. They said, oh my gosh, the ropes are burnt, and he is basically untouched. Nimrod's servants didn't trust what they saw, and so messengers, right, were sent, and the king came. They opened the door of the oven, and there was Avram alive, and Nimrod said, get him out. Right? The slaves moved towards him, but the flames jumped towards him. And the king says, can't you get him out of there? And they said, it seems he's very comfortable here. He's in no hurry to leave. Avram walked out, and Nimrod was just taken aback. How is it that you survived? And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of heaven and earth, saved me. Nimrod bowed down to Avram. And Avram said, do not bow to me. I am flesh and blood. The only one to bow to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says not everyone there was convinced. There were those who said he was saved by magic. Apparently, Haran, one of his brothers, had a reputation for being a great magic person. Haran, who saw this, was doubtful. He didn't know what to do. And he said, if Avram is saved, I'll join him. If Nimrod wins, I'll go there. When then, all of a sudden, the servants of Nimrod came to him and said, whose side are you on? And he said, I'm on Avram's side. And they said, okay, we'll throw you in the oven too. But unfortunately, he became toast. Miracles don't occur for a person who basically doesn't have full faith in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it says. The angel of death took his body and threw it down in front of Terach. Terach now realized that there is no Avodah Zarah. It's only Avraham's belief. But Terach realized that now he's got a problem. He couldn't keep living there anymore because, there was going to definitely be revenge taken against him. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, right, it says that Terach decides to go to Haran, right? He doesn't get that far, right? Somewhere along the line, then he stays there. The last pasuk says it, right? And Avraham and Sarah were married, right? She, as we know, was barren until 90 years old.
Until they changed her name.
Huh? Hashem changed both their names. Avram and Sarah adopted Lot, who was Haran's son, and he basically, as we know, only survived because of Avram, right? When they arrived in Haran, it says, Terach realized they were no longer in danger there, and he decided, I'm not going to Canaan. I'm not going where Avram's going. And it says, Avram, at that time, was 70 years old. Avram stayed in Haran for a while. And again, he had people coming to his Kiruv sessions, teaching them about God. And it says, at some stage, he had tens of thousands of followers. But Avram continued to travel towards Canaan. It says he got there, and then for 5 years he went back and forth. I guess he was teaching in both communities.
He's a traveler.
Right. When he was 75 years old, the mitzvah from Hashem, Lech Lecha, go out and stay in Eretz Yisroel, arrived, which is the beginning of this week's Parsha. And Hashem promised them, right, that he bracha, you are going to be a bracha. In other words, you are going to be the vehicle of blessing in this world. You and your descendants are the gift to the world. And we know the world definitely doesn't appreciate what it's been given.
So God said, through you I will bless the world.
Yeah. He said to you, Whoever you bless, I will bless. And if, God forbid, you do the opposite, I'll agree with your that as well.
Whatever you curse, I will curse. Whatever you bless, I will bless.
And we're told that we know that Avram's destiny until he got to Eretz Yisrael was to be barren. And we're told that we learn there are four ways. I guess it's a Gemara, I think, that if one hath changed muzzle, one way is giving tzedaka, tefillah, davening, tshuva, shinui shame. Sometimes people's names are changed. Rahmana litzlan, we do it now when somebody is quite ill. And lastly, shinui hamakim, changing residence. When Avram was told, go out of your land, I will make you great, it says, Avraham merited having children and Klal Yisroel because he changed his residence. It says, obviously, when you move, as Avram did, to a brand new hostile environment, and you're the only one, right? It clearly leads to greater humility, right? Upon that, and that was one of the reasons that Avraham received the brachas that he did.
You know, it appears that Eretz Yisrael